Here we are. Had a dream. I had a dream. It might be a speech someday. I did have a dream during the night. I was awakened about 4 a.m. Probably to void. Couldn't think of any other reason why I'm wide awake. And I went back to bed and frustratingly tried to fall back to sleep, and it wasn't happening. And I tried to pray in a sort of focused way, but not any kind of remembered prayer of any type. And I couldn't concentrate. I just, you know, I'd start to pray about something, and I'd find my mind wandering, you know, going all over the map. So as I have been, have found to be helpful before, I began to say the Lord's Prayer. And unlike on some occasions where I would have a block at a certain point in the Lord's Prayer, as I had up here once, I got through the prayer and it came out okay. It's not that long, and I should be able at this age to remember it in its entirety without stumbling, but nevertheless, I got through it. And at which point, I guess, because I wasn't aware that I was any longer awake, I must have fallen asleep. And so, as a little prelude to what I'm going to say, I'll mention that a couple of things in the real world that preceded this. One is, as many of you know, I teach skiing, especially to kids. Yesterday, nothing to do with skiing, just a quick shift. Yesterday, I had planned to try to help a former partner with some lawn mowing needs, and also to take care of her daughter, who I'm helping to raise. And so with that in mind, I got there in the heat of the afternoon after the wonderful ceremony that we've spoken of. And don't you know, the riding mower is dead in the water. If nothing happens, it won't start. So I, you know, who doesn't carry a battery charger with him? So I plugged it into some extension cords and battery charger and went to charge it and took off with Angela's, her name, to spend the afternoon doing some things that needed to be done at my house with gardening, including mowing lawns and planting plants, etc. And it was a really fun afternoon, and progressed back to going back around close to dusk, thinking it would be cooler, I'll mow the lawn, and despite charging the battery, nothing happens. So I'm a bit frustrated. I take out the battery, and I believe perhaps it wasn't a good connection, so I remove it from the lawnmower and I hook it up to charge, and it may or may not work when I go back. If it works, great. If not, I'll figure something else out. So that's the sort of background. So, and it does come to play, it seemingly, because I think that sometimes those things that happen in our real world become incorporated into our dream states. I was asleep, and I began, seemingly was immersed in a dream in which I was taking this battery to a friend and a car mechanic that I've dealt with for many years. And I'm in his shop, and the content gets a little muddied, but I'm aware that there's someone who's approached me. It's a woman who's approached me, and there's a man with her. Subsequently, I find it's her husband. And she kind of picks up talking to me as if in mid-sentence, as if we've been speaking about these matters before, and she has a medical problem. Again, those that know me know I haven't actually practiced medicine for quite some time now. It's 8 years. And yet she's conversing with me about it, and seemingly I'm now going to be involved in her problem-solving need. At which point, it's clear that the husband and the wife are both frustrated having had no ability or the inability to actually solve the problem despite efforts of others, and I may or may not have been somebody in that unsuccessful grouping. I'm also back in the facility that I worked in amongst people who are surprised that I'm there, and without going into the circumstances, at least amongst some, I'm kind of unwelcome. But I'm there beginning to try my best to figure out her source of difficulties, and I proceed to accompany her to have some tests, and it's kind of bizarre. We're out in a mud field. I'm going with her in some vehicle to go to a radiology suite, and I'm not sure of the details or what. I mean, I'm not even really sure what I'm looking for. I'm not even really sure what her problem is in the dream. I just know that it's seemingly I've been appointed to try to help her with it. And I'm not particularly succeeding. And like dreams I've had, and maybe all of us have had before, I keep having the dream again because I want to get to the right answer. You know, and it's I'm going to find out the answer. I'm going to find the answer. If I could just dream it one more time, maybe. It's not an unpleasant answer. It's just no answer. So it's not the kind of dreams I've had before where really it's a come to a disastrous conclusion and I want to change the dream. That's not it at all. I'm just not coming to a conclusion that's a meaningful one. So as dreams are, there's sort of no real linearity to this. Oh, and the woman turns out to be, I'm aware that she's the daughter of childhood neighbors whom I didn't know existed, and I know the names, but I don't know anything about them. And I kind of end that little segment of the dream, the woman's frustrated and the husband's angry and frustrated, and I certainly haven't had any real success. And I'm suddenly on the slope of a mountain. It's a real hot day, yet there's snow covering the entire thing. And bumps on hills are called moguls, and so this is a field of moguls. I'm looking up, and here comes some young man, seemingly, skiing down through this mogul field, and he looks like he's got it together, and then all of a sudden he doesn't. And he's just launched. He's this sort of violent throw of up in the air and down onto somewhere, but he disappears in the dream. I can't see him. But I know he's fallen, couldn't not fall, and I'm just waiting a bit so he can reappear. He's kind of gone below a crest. He's going to reappear, I'm sure, except he doesn't. Doesn't reappear. And I clearly am not on skis, but I've got a sweatshirt on, and I tear the sweatshirt off, and I kind of run up to the crest of this hill, and I look, and he's immersed in this large pool. He's vertical in this pool, and he's not moving, and he's bubbling from his mouth. He's unconscious. And so I hurl myself into this water. I guess I'm going to try to save him. I know I'm going to try to save him. I'm panicked for this kid. And I can't arouse him. He's not breathing. And despite being a lifeguard in a former life for a while and knowing that, you know, there are ways to transport someone to safe ground, I don't do that. But I go below him and get him sort of in a prone position, hovering in the water, and continue to press him toward me to try to get him to breathe. You know, sort of reverse CPR. Not on ground. I'm sort of the ground on which I'm making an effort to bring him back, and he revives. You know? And his name is Bruce. And I don't have any conversation, but I know his name is Bruce. I don't know why. The only Bruce I can think of is the Bruce that used to come here with some great frequency with Judy Norette, who struggled mightily every time I saw him. So maybe this is for Bruce. I'm not sure. I doubt it. But it turns out that I'm then in an elevator, I'm back at this medical facility, and I'm with this very, very, very angry father. Well, didn't know he's the father, with this angry man. And somehow I become aware that Bruce is this man's son. I do share the news that his son has had this mishap, but everything's okay. You know, he's alive and it's all right. And I wake up. It's about 7 o'clock and the birds are chirping and it's, you know, it's not yet real hot, and I'm sitting up, and I'll usually lie in bed for about a half hour, an hour. I said, I'm not going to lie in here. Who knows what's going to happen? And I really I was looking for some answers as to what the dream meant, and I listened and closed my eyes. And I'd love to say that I simply, the Lord spoke to me and the lightning bolt came, as I continue to think somehow it happens to people, but I didn't have that sense. But I did have the strong sense that, you know, this kind of life lesson, there's water, there's frustration, there's illogic, I'm in some place, I don't know why I'm there, I'm doing something that I've done before, but I'm not supposed to be doing now. I'm trying to help, I can't help. I'm trying to correct things myself, I can't correct them. Then I'm in a situation, I'm suddenly thrust in a situation, and gosh, sort of miraculously, this kid who seemingly was unconscious and knocked out and submerged in water, you know, suddenly it turns out he's actually alive and well. So, you know, the sort of metaphor I, at least I understand this to represent, others can have their own discernment, is that, and may, is that this is this, you know, the sort of continuing struggle that we all have in life of getting immersed in circumstances that are beyond our control, that we want to flee from, or that we want to correct, or that we somehow want to make right, and that we try to rely on those things we've learned, like training, in my case, medical, and despite our best efforts, in the sort of logical progression of things that we think will work, they don't work. And then, in a way that makes little sense, we realize that somehow we've met this family, you know, and couldn't correct one thing, but the far greater good is served by correcting the other. The water, you know, the sort of living water strikes me as ripe for a bit of exploration, because one would suppose that someone immersed in water would, who didn't come up, you know, eventually would drown, would die. And so I'm not at all confident that this person indeed wasn't dead and didn't die, but somehow, and not through me, but some presence within, that somehow he was either newly discovering and or sort of, I don't know, reconnecting with the spirit, with the spiritual life. And so despite perhaps his real death, he was alive and, you know, would remain so eternally. So that's my dream. You know, I've been in therapy a long time, you probably can tell. And I could have certainly twisted this in a much, much different way without even thinking to invoke the name of the Lord, let alone his presence. But I'm, you know, I choose to believe that, at least for me, in a way that will strengthen me as I continue to live this life in this world, that I will try hard to not be overwhelmed by circumstances that are both beyond my control and therefore frustrating and seemingly pointless, and let life proceed through faith, that things will be resolved in a way that serves his purpose and not mine. So amen to that. That's it. And I don't have to do this on Tuesday.
Don't go away just yet.
Two things came into my heart as you were explaining. In the first segment, you've talked about the couple and mud. Mm-hmm. The mud would represent natural, earthy circumstances. The second scenario is water. Mm-hmm. We spoke about that earlier this morning, which connects those dots. I had no knowledge of your dream, obviously.
Sure.
But I do believe that when we struggle in the mud part, or the natural realm, the earthly realm, all the things we've learned in the natural, we're bound to, let's say, have a harder time than when we have the Holy Spirit, which now you were in the water, but you were using yourself as an instrument to bring life back into this particular individual. Obviously, I don't know who Bruce is, but let's say it this way. If anyone else has a piece to the puzzle, please help our brother.
I felt that he was lifting him up.
You were lifting him up, okay.
No, I felt that he was
lifting.
He was struggling.
Yep.
And you lifted him up, and the Lord took care of him.
Yeah, life
you
came
said,
back.
You said lifting him.
Yeah.
Word yourself.
Mm-hmm. Good. Peggy?
I think it's prophetic in the sense that the first part was the life you were walking before. And if you notice, there was no satisfaction in the dream. Mm-hmm. But the second part is prophetic in the sense that that's your new walk.
Agreed.
With God. Mm-hmm. To bring people back to life. Oh. Not necessarily you know, in a, you know, totally dead state, but,
right.
you know.
Spiritually.
Spiritually, yes, thank you. Spiritually. And maybe the spruce is going to come your way.
Yeah.
Could be.
You know,
somebody down the road.
You are going to minister to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anne?
And there's a thread of compassion. Heavenly Father has compassion for us, but you were exhibiting compassion through that.
Mary Jo?
But again, I heard the battle belongs to the Lord, and
yeah.
stop your fussing. I urge it, so I guess it's all.
Pete?
You said you ripped your sweatshirt off, ripped it off as in speed, or did you really tear it off?
You know, I don't know, Pete. I just was aware that I had obviously had other articles, but there was something about that which, and it was a hoodie. 90 degree day, but I'm wearing a hoodie sweatshirt.
Uh-huh.
So I don't believe that I rent the fabric, but I didn't. I felt myself doing it, but I didn't observe it in a sort of third person way.
Mm-hmm.
Your thought was?
Well, that it would be an act of when you rent it, it's you know submission
yeah.
to God,
mm-hmm.
and that would have applied immediately to what you ran up there, rented or.
Removed it
quickly,
mm-hmm.
and you lifted him up, submission to God. Whereas in the first scenario, it was all about you trying to save,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and your frustration.
I got the same thing. It's been sad, yeah. mm-hmm.
And I believe God's going to let you know.
Well, that was the other part that I think sometimes for me, anyway, when I get a dream, it may take a week, sometimes
yeah.
2 weeks. And all of a sudden, a couple of things will happen, and you'll be aware, and you'll say, oh, now I know why I took off the shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's taking off a hindrance, but it's also a natural garment, and maybe your spiritual garments are coming. Yes?
It's funny because she's the second person that I know of, than myself, that's been dreamed with water. Was that clear water? I mean, were you telling
yeah.
to?
Very clear.
I was basically putting my complaint before the Lord. I said, that's the only who else. Look what they've stolen from me. And it goes back into the water. It's hard for you to go ahead and actually perceive it as the Spirit speaking to your spirit. Because you've never thought of you. You always thought of doing for others. Having your purpose was to do something to make it right,
mm-hmm.
but that whole journey is about you.
Well, it's interesting because you may have been a springboard for this.
You know what I'm saying?
We had some of this conversation last week.
Yeah. Remember, you and I had a conversation. I said the day you get out of the cause and effect and get into and start allowing the spiritual aspect of it to come alive, you're gonna be. Then you're gonna really be able to move, because then you'll be able to do in the spirit what you couldn't do in your flesh. But it's gonna take a while, and for some odd reason, you refuse to allow to accept or think that you can actually move and be used in the spirit, or that you have the spiritual gifts. But that's your journey. If you look at it, it's a journey. Going through this journey, you've been here, you've been there, right? The Lord is showing you where you've been. He's showing you the reason why you're not where you used to be, and that they're actually you see the spiritual realm that was against you being there. Okay? And why? So, it's all about you, about where you were, where you've been, what you have tried to do on your own. But then the Lord is showing you what he's going to do with you.
Yes.
But you got to get the head out of it. analyze everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it's not easy because, you know, me, I put A and B together. And instead of that, it's got to fall into the sequence. And I have a hard time with that for the same reason. So, but it's where you've been. What caused it, why, and he'll reveal more to it. If you go ahead and wake up and you fall back to sleep and you come back to the dream, don't fight it. Don't even try to figure it out. Because the odds, I mean, intellectually, the odds of you getting out of a dream and coming back into a dream again,
it's confirming.
It's like drilling an oil well in the middle of your kitchen. So it obviously has a purpose behind it.
Yeah.
But it's about you and where you're going.
Pete?
Also, the second half of your dream is, Victor was talking, whatever the anointing is upon your life, it's going to happen suddenly. You're not going to have time
Amen.
To react.
Sudden
changes. Mom, you got all kinds of opinions? Holy Ghost is going to finish it. Thank you. Well, I think sometimes we don't think that'll help, but how many were learning from this experience from Bob? Put your hand way up because it's important. All right, he needs to know. What you think is, let's say, haphazard, ain't going to change anybody, it may help them on their path. I want you to bow your heads. Father, we come before you, and we're asking for your spirit to bring to life this word for each one of us, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want you to come to Isaiah 49 with me. Isaiah 49. This might be helpful, Bob, because it speaks about our purpose as spirit beings rather than just the natural part. Because we all have a beginning, and it all starts with flesh. The second part of our lives comes as a spirit reality, and we begin to see his purpose, and it's not always understood. Verse 1, listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. From my birth. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me like a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, you are my servant. Israel, which is the spirit part of us. If you look back at the story of Jacob, you'll find that he got a new name, a new nature, which was a prince with God. His former name, Jacob, was a supplanter or a trickster. So if you keep that in mind, that your old nature, your soulish part of you, your natural man, is always full of tricks trying to get what you want. But the new nature is a prince or princess with God. And you're looking for the heavenly reward rather than the natural reward. So keep this in mind. He said to me, you are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. He doesn't say he's going to display his splendor in the Jacob part of us, which is the natural man. He really is saying, I'm going to display my splendor in your spirit man. First Thessalonians 5:23 says we are spirit, soul, and body. Three separate aspects of our creation. Verse 4, but I said I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. Are you hearing me? I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God. And now the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and to bring back those Israel I have kept. I will also make light for the Gentiles. that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. Not somebody else. The Israel part of us is really the new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, I'm a new creation. That new creation being is really the Israel part of who I am in God. Are you a prince or a princess?
Yes.
Yes. But I also had a beginning in the flesh.
Yes.
Jesus had 30 years in his beginning as a natural man. Then he got baptized. And somebody tattled on him. Papa said, on whom my spirit rests, he's the Messiah. Talk about tattletale. He even told a relative. It's even worse. Amen. Your relatives will spread it everywhere. John the Baptist, I am positive, could not hold that information. I'm sure he went back and told Mama and Pop and says, guess what? I know now that Jesus is the definite Messiah. The Holy Ghost came on him, and boy, Mom, you should have seen how he reacted. And now he's gone into some place that I don't know and I don't need to know because Papa's in charge. Why? Because he would have already been in the woods. He'd already been in the wilderness. He lived there. You're going to have people in your life that are going to be John the Baptist to you. And the Messiah part of you is your spirit man. It's not a different Messiah that's living in you. It's not a different spirit that went on Jesus that came in you. Whoops. Come on. Is it the same Holy Spirit that has come into you that went into Jesus?
Amen.
Yes. See, we have a tendency to think we're different. We're not. The years may be different. The numbers on the calendar may be different. But it's the same Holy Ghost. Watch verse 6. It is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light to the Gentiles, there's your lighthouse, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. That is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who is despised and abhorred by nation, by the nation, to the servants of rulers, kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down, because the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. You didn't choose yourself. He is the one that chose you. Verse 8. This is what the Lord says. In the time of my favor, I will answer you, and in the day of salvation, I will help you. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land, to reassign it, desolate and inheritance, to say to the captives, come out, to those in darkness, be free, to those who are dead in the water, come back to life. They will feed besides the roads and find pasture on every barren hill. They will neither hunger nor thirst, nor will the desert heat or sun beat upon them. He who has compassion on them will guide them and lead them beside springs of water. I will turn all my mountains into roads, and my highways will be raised up. See, they will come from afar, some from the north, some from the west, some from the regions of Aswan. Shout for joy, O heaven, rejoice, O earth, burst into song, O mountains, for the Lord comforts his people and will have compassion on his afflicted one. His afflicted ones. His afflicted one.
You know, sometimes we think because we've been afflicted that we belong to the darkness. But it's just the opposite. He sometimes allows you to be afflicted. Why? Because he wants you to run to him. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hand. Your walls are ever before me. Your sons hasten back, and those who laid you to waste depart from you. Lift up your eyes and look around. All your sons gather and come to you. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, you will wear them as an ornament. You will put them on like a bride. Though you were bruised or ruined and made desolate and your land laid waste, now you will be too small. I love it. For your people and those who devoured you will be far away. The children born during your bereavement will yet say in your hearing, this place is too small for us. Give us more space to live in. Then you will say in your heart, Who bore me these? I was bereaved and barren. I was exiled and rejected. Who brought these up? I was left all alone. But these, where have they come from? This is what the sovereign Lord says. See, I will beckon to the Gentiles. I will lift up my banner to the people. They will bring your sons in their arms and carry your daughters on their shoulders. Kings will be your foster fathers and their queen your nursing mothers. They will bow down before you with their faces to the ground. They will lick the dust at your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Now you say, why did you give me so much? Because there's a lot in your future that you have no concept of. I believe Israel is an example. In 1948, she was nothing. And out of nothing, look what God has created. There is such anguish right now in several nations that are surrounding her because she has discovered oil and natural gas. And her future is bright, but the darkness is aware of it. Say, my future may be bright, but the darkness is also aware of it. And he wants me to give up now. So that I'll never see my dream. If Israel in 48 had given up, would she have discovered that she was sitting on unbelievable amounts of natural resources under her ground? The oil that they discovered a few years ago was told that they would have enough for 10 years. Now they're saying it's probably several hundred years. This natural gas that they are buying from Egypt, even now, it's not going to be a problem because it's going to be enough natural gas to sell to the Europeans. And Russia's angry, jealous, because she's the food basket that's feeding. If you were to go to Europe, you would find the fruits are all coming out of Israel. And vegetables as well. Now you see, that was a wasteland. It had nothing. And if you compare Israel to yourself, you may have been nothing. You might have accomplished very little in the natural realm. But God says that was your training. That was your beginning. Woo-hoo. Verse 24, can plunder be taken from warriors or captives rescued from the fierce? Hear me. That's speaking of people that are in your life, that are stuck in the natural realm. And God is saying, can plunder be taken from the warriors? See, there are demonic warriors as well as spiritual ones. Or captives rescued from the fierce. But this is what the Lord says. Yes, captives will be taken from warriors and plunder retrieved from the fierce. Whew. Say, that's for me, Lord.
That's for me, Lord.
Yes, the captives will be taken from the warriors and plunder retrieved from the fierce. I will contend with those who contend with me. And your children I will save. Those are my kids, Lord. And they will be saved. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh. They will be drunk on their own blood as with wine. Then all mankind will know that I, the Lord, am your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. I read that twice this morning. I read it out loud because the Lord said, declare it. Because there's oppression that would love to make me snuff out. But suddenly, in your dream, Bob, this man came back to life. Suddenly is the secret. The Holy Spirit will move in Acts chapter 2. Suddenly. Before you could think about it, he will actually move on your behalf. And those that have persecuted you, laughed at you, made a mockery of you, will be at your feet. Amen. Not because you want glory, but because they're going to see and they're going to hear who is really in charge of yours and my life. Amen. And it's not all about me, myself, and I. It's about him living in me and him getting his way through me. I want you to close now. Just close your eyes. Say, Holy Spirit, you are the counselor and the comforter. And I'm expecting you to make this victory deep in my heart that I don't have to do any of the work, just to flow as the Holy Spirit leads. And the victory will come.
And the victory will come.
Suddenly.
Suddenly.
When I least expect it.
When I least expect it.
Those that have been dead.
Those that have been dead.
Will be in the living water.
Will be in the living water.
And they will come back to life.
And they will come back to life.
For God's glory.
For God's glory.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen.